joy to be here this morning. If you have a Bible, I'm going to be in the Old Testament. I'll not ask you to stand. I know y'all like to stand for the Bible reading. I'm not a text reading type fella. I like just to read a little bit and preach a little bit, talk a whole lot, and then I don't want to leave you standing. So I thank the Lord for the privilege to be here this morning. I've been here on several occasions and always thank the Lord for the privilege for this open door, and do not take it for granted. For you that have never heard me before, this is not my first time at the rodeo. I have been preaching for 53 years. I usually preach somewhere about 250 nights a year, so this ain't the first time. Somebody asked me not long ago, you always take notes up there and you telephone to see your time? I said, absolutely. He's a young preacher. He said, why do you do that? I said, so I'll know when the sermon's over. I've heard a lot of sermons. They was over long before the preacher knowed it was. And so I will know when this sermon's over, because my time will tell me and my notes will be at the end. Some time ago, I heard a preacher make a statement and it exploded inside of me. And it led to about seven sermons, almost like that. It was so quick. The little statement that he made was, unknown here, but well known over there. And I got to thinking, I wonder what it would be like to be well known here and nobody know you over there. We're living in a day and age where we have made people very famous who have died in the most hideous of sins. We've even live streamed their funerals. And we've made their name household names. And while we're having their funeral, making a big to-do about them, they're already in hell. Because nobody knows them over there. Our Lord himself even said that one day some will stand before him and they will tout all of their accomplishments. And he'll make the statement, I knew you and forgot you. No. He doesn't even say that in the Living Bible. I never knew you. Never knew you. Jesus himself said that narrow is the way that leads to life, and only a few people will find it. Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and most will err therein. Even Jesus himself taught that most everybody is going to hell, and there's only a few folks going to heaven. That's a scary thought. There may be some of here this morning, you just feel like you're ready to fly. You feel like everything's all right between you and God. But there's one problem. Ain't nobody over there knows you. I think I would want to make sure somebody over there knows me. You don't want to show up over there and nobody knows you. Matter of fact, he says that there's so many going to hell that he's enlarged it to take in more people. Yeah. B.R. Lakin used to say years ago that he believed that 50% of the people in America in fundamental Baptist churches were lost and on their way to hell. I do not agree with that. After traveling all over America, I believe it's up around 70% that are lost and on their way to hell. How come? One is they're lost and don't know it. They've never been confronted with lostness. Second of all, they're lost and won't admit it. Still lost. But I was drawn to some people in the Bible who were very unknown here. But son, they lit it up over there. And I want to look at one of those this morning and another one tonight. This morning, 2 Kings 5. Once again, I'm not asking you to stand. I'll read a little bit and preach a little bit. But I'm interested in Naaman's little maid. They didn't even give her a name. She's old wash the dishes gal. She's old mop the floor gal. No name at all. But she caused a party over there. They knowed her over there. You listening to me? I want us to see in our text this morning in 2 Kings 5 that she is the unknown connector. She is a chosen child of Abraham. And she's going to put her hand of influence on Almighty God. She's going to put her other hand on a pagan Gentile army captain. She's going to bring the two together, and he's going to leave whiter than snow. Amen. I was wondering this morning, not being nosy, God forbid I stick my nose into your business, would you consider yourself a connector? You're putting your hand of influence on Almighty God. And you're putting your influence and hand upon sinners that are lost and on their way to hell. And you're bringing the two together. Yeah. And you're seeing sinners leave whiter than snow. Because if you're not doing that, what in this world did God leave you here for? Yeah. Suck air? Take up space? She was the unknown connector. It is in this story in 2 Kings 5 that there are three people mentioned in our story. There is a known sinner. There is an unknown saint. There is a knowable Savior mentioned in this text. Let's look first of all at the known sinner. Notice the context of the sinner. This passage of Scripture is well known down in the little kindergarten Sunday school classes. It's probably one of the most famous of all of Elisha's miracles. It's known down there as seven ducks in a muddy pond. Naaman. Context of the sinner. Paul said in Romans 15, for whatsoever was written aforetime was written for our learning. This is one of the most beautiful types and pictures of redeeming grace in all of the Old Testament. There is a context of the sinner. Notice the characteristic of the sinner. It says in verse number 1, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master. He was honorable. Because by him the Lord, wow, God's using him. He's on his way to hell. And God's using him like a pawn on a chessboard, moving him wherever he wants him to move. I wonder how many are sitting here this morning. You're lost and on your way to hell, and God's using you like a pawn on a chessboard to accomplish exactly what he wants to accomplish. Wow. And nobody over there knows you at all. Watch the text. Because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was a mighty man in valor. Gracious, what characteristics of a man. His name, Naaman, means pleasant one. A joy to be around. This guy's a good old Joe. I wonder how many of you sitting here this morning, you're very pleasant. People find it very encouraging just to be around you. You're so pleasant and enjoyable. But no one over there knows your name. I noticed in the text, it says that he was a great man with his master, the king. The king held him. If anybody asked the king, say, hey, do you know a guy by name? Oh, man, Naaman. Whoa, what a guy. I noticed in the text that he was a mighty man of valor, great warrior. I got to thinking, this guy has got all the characteristics of putting Saint Naaman in front of his name. Most Baptist churches, if he was to come in, they'd make him the chairman of the deacon board the first year he's there. He's only got one problem. Ruh-roh. Not only do I see the context of the sinner, see the characteristics of the sinner, but notice the condition of Naaman. Verse number one. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, honorable. Because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but one little problem. It's the problem that's going to keep him out of heaven. It's the problem that's going to keep you out of heaven. But he was a leper. The condition is a picture in the Old Testament of sin. It is the greatest, loathsome of all the hideous diseases of the Old Testament. Sin, spiritually, is the most hideous of all the problems that man can have. Sin. Paul said in Ephesians 4, sin darkens the mind, separates us from God, leaves us with no hope. Preacher, you got any idea what God thought about sin? It's awful deep. I don't know if you can get this or not. It might be way over your head. Look at Calvary. That's what he thought of sin. He unleashed all of hell on Calvary, on his own son. Yes, he did. Because of the very minutest of sin in your life today. Listen to me. Condition of the sinner. I got to thinking, I got to meditating, I got to studying, got to researching a little bit, comparing leprosy to what we call sin. Of course, we're living in a day and age where we've renamed most bad sins. You know, we call them by different names. They sound good, but still sin. I found one thing about leprosy is that it was insignificant at the start. It was only just a small pimple, but it would lead to death. The wages of sin is death. Sin in the most smallest portions, even in a saint of God this morning, is dangerous. My brother told us in Sunday school this morning that all our sins was gone. I wholeheartedly agree with that. Sin can surely divide you, can keep you out of fellowship with God, can limit your power with man. The least sin in the life of a believer, very dangerous. If we do not silence sin in our life by confession, it will silence our conscience. It'll be hard for God to deal with us. Very minutest to sin, insignificant at start. I noticed that leprosy was inherited. You got it from your blood. We all get our blood from our daddy. I remember my grandma, she used to live with us after I got married. She moved in with us. She'd see a gangster at church just showing up, throwing a tantrum. She'd always say, "I got bad blood in them." Could I alert you? All of you were born with bad blood in you. Hello. Get it from your daddy. "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive. I came forth from the womb telling lies." I know you think that little sweet baby that maybe you have born or you have is not a liar, but it is a thoroughbred liar. You can change its diapers. You can feed it. You can lay it down. And before your foot hits the threshold of their bedroom, they're screaming again. How come? They're a liar. Ain't nothing wrong with them at all. Came out of our mother's womb, telling lies. I'm reminded of that. My dad's brother's daughter, she just passed away. She was a historian. She studied family trees. I'm not into family tree studying. I have took a little peekaboo back there before, and it didn't look good. So I looked no further. I noticed at first glance that I came from a lying farmer and a drunk sailor. And I felt like there was no need of looking any further. The lying farmer's name was Adam, and the drunk sailor's name was Noah. Oh, that's where you come from too. Leprosy was inherited. I noticed in my study that leprosy works without perception or pain. Whenever you see sin in your life or feel its effects, young person sitting here this morning, it's more than likely too late. It has already done its damage in your life. Leprosy. I noticed in my study that leprosy spreads rapidly and deadly. Just a little pimple. Some of you have got sin in your life this morning. It's ever so minute, you wouldn't even feel like it was necessary to go to an altar and confess that. Left alone, it'll consume you. So it was with leprosy. Spreads rapidly. Paul said in Romans 7, he says, "I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing." Wow, we're talking about the guy that wrote over half of the New Testament. He said, "Ain't nothing good about me." I hear people all the time, somebody dies, they say, "Oh, bless him, that's such a good person." No, they won't. Ain't no good people.
Some young person dies out here and says, oh, they're so innocent, they're so young. Oh, they get to live their life. No, they weren't innocent. We're all guilty before God. We're born in sin. This is a story. Here's Naaman. On the outside, shoo, he looked like a good old Joe. Let's make him chairman of the deacon board. He ain't got but one problem. He's a leper. He's full of sin. I noticed in my study that leprosy was highly infectious. I thought this was interesting. Leopards always had, this is deep now, I don't even know if you can get this or not, but way over your head, leopards always had to wear a mask. Right, Ro? Whoa. Are you listening to me this morning? And if you got near them, unclean! Unclean! Don't get near me. I was thinking the other day, I wish that some of the things that try to conquer me, sins that try to challenge me and trouble me, I wish they'd wear a mask. And every time I got near that sin, it would say, hey, I'm unclean, don't get near me, I'll get you. Leprosy was loathsome to the eye. The Old Testament leper would shudder anybody got near him. God's word says that he is too holy to even look upon sin. I noticed in my study that leprosy was the state of the walking dead. Somebody comes around with leprosy, dead man, dead woman walking. Isn't that the way we come out of our mother's womb? Dead man, dead woman walking. Paul said, in you hath he quickened who were what? Dead. That old deacon years ago, he hadn't earned a doctor's degree from Bob Jones. I thought he'd been smarter than what he was. He told me, he said, you know, I don't believe man's as dead as you preach him. I said, sure enough. I said, how dead do you think he is? He said, well, I think every man has an ability within himself of his own volition to come to God on his own. I said, sure enough. I said, you ever studied Ephesians 2:1? He said, I don't know that I ever have. I said, a little word dead mentioned in Ephesians 2:1 is a little Greek word for corpse. I said, how dead do you think a corpse is? When God found you and saved you, you were a corpse spiritually. You don't go down to the funeral home and they invite you in the funeral home and tell you that Lula is in this first room. She's half dead. And Bubba's in the last room. He's all dead. No! Sinners, there may be some of you here this morning. You're absolutely dead spiritually. You have not a clue as to what I'm saying if God doesn't enlighten you and give you eyes to see and ears to hear. I thought this was very scary, and I challenge you to prove me wrong. Nowhere in the Old Testament did they ever suggest that a leper see a doctor. Never. They always told them they needed to see a preacher. There's some of you this morning are suffering physical things and you think it's a doctor that could help you when it may be an altar you need and not a doctor. You just need to bow your stinking knee and confess that you're a rebel against God. Are you listening to me? Lord, now I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spot and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid for some of it and I'll have to work for the rest of it. No! Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Seeing, 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 seeing. has left a crimson stain.
He
washed it whiter than snow. Our first character, the known sinner. Could we notice in our text not only the known sinner of Naaman, but could I mention the maid this morning? The unknown saint. I notice her prisoner connection. Verse 2, Syrians had gone out by companies, brought away captive out of the land of Israel. A little maid. Syrian, gone out, captured this little teenage girl. They don't even give her a name. She's a nobody, unknown here. She caused a party over there. You listen to me. Naaman, great warrior. She, little maid. He, a respected Gentile captain. She, a hated Jew. His name, Naaman. Her name, nobody, unknown. He was a leper. This is awful deep. I don't know if you can get this or not. He was a leper, but she was a connector. Do you know anything about being a connector? Whiter than snow. Prisoner connection. Could I mention her parental connection? Her precious parents must have asked a million times, why did a favored daughter of Abraham have to go and live in the home and clean up the messes of a pagan Gentile? God had reasons for this trial. Often been reminded of the statement, things happen, but they don't just happen. There's a God behind it all. No chance or accident with this gale. I'm sure her parents had probably taught her many times from the Psalms. He hath determined the times before appointed, the boundaries of our habitations, our times are in his hands. I wonder how far God would go. I wonder if he thought he could use you to make a connection with a doctor or nurse. It would bother him to give you cancer just so you'd go over there and be able to put your hands on one and on the other, bring the two together. My daddy lived for 15 years in Pigeon Forge. He built a home there. 8 hours a day, he would go to Gatlinburg and sit on the bench behind the pancake house in Gatlinburg. And anybody would sit down on that bench, he'd tell them about Jesus. He did that 8 hours a day. He had to move to Florida as he got older and got sicker. I went down there several times to take care of him, and I would take him to the doctor. I hated taking him to the doctor. I hated it. He's got to talk to everybody in there about Jesus. And he don't invite them to church. No. Ask them where they're going when they die. Oh, that's just so uncomfortable. I mean, even Indian doctors with dot in the middle of their head, he don't mind asking, where are you going when you die? Made me so uncomfortable. But he was a connector. Listen to me this morning. This little maid,
she was a connector. Not only do I see a prison connection, a parental connection, but I see a powerful connection. 2 Kings 5, verse 3. She said, this is the little maid, she's found out that her master, Naaman, has leprosy. She said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. She tells Naaman's wife her story. Elisha means God is salvation. She tells her her story. I'm just speaking for me now. If it was me, I'd have said, let me sit here and watch leprosy eat his guts out. I'm not as spiritual as you are. Are you listening to me this morning? But she's a connector, bringing two together. She tells her story. I've probably told you this before, but I'll tell it again. I wanted to hear it. Several years ago, I was in West Virginia preaching a meeting. A little 9-year-old boy was there. He had gotten saved in youth camp. And I asked the question, I'd asked you the question, have you ever told your kids your story? Have you ever told your grandchildren your story about how God saved you? Well, I asked that question that morning. Well, he's sitting there, he just got saved in youth camp. Well, he leans over, puts his hand on his mama's arm very quietly, very kindly, and he taps her, and she turns and looks at him. I read his lips. He makes this statement. I love what she did. She's looking at him now. He's mouthing, you've never told me your story. This is what she does. Don't look at him no more. How come? I found out later. She had an affair shortly after that with his football coach. You know how come? She ain't got no story. Are you listening to me this morning? This old gal, she don't mind telling anybody her story. Could I close this morning with the knowable Savior? The Bible tells us in 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse number 8, and it was so when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, sent to the king saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me. He shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Hear Elisha. He says, send Naaman over here to see me. I know you can't help him, but I can. Naaman came over there. The Bible tells us, verses 11 and 12 and 13, that he tells him to go down to the Jordan and duck 7 times. Naaman is enraged. How dare that Jew tell me, go dunk in some muddy river. We got the most pristine lakes and rivers in Syria. I thought for sure he'd come out here and wave something over me or something and just take care of it. One of Naaman's servants, verse 14, and he went down and dipped himself. The servant said, it's a very simple thing that he's asked of you, Naaman. Why don't you go and do it? And he went and ducked himself in the Jordan River, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. He was clean. Here's where I believe. You know, the New Testament says whenever there is a sinner converted, there is party in heaven. They rejoice. Hey, nobody knows this little girl's name, but she done called the party over there because she was a connector. I was thinking about the many times, I wouldn't call myself any great soul winner,
No, you'll not hear me riding the sword of the Lord and notching my belt. I'm afraid more of the ones that I have had saved, they are my converts rather than God's converts. But I do love to be around when I know that God has gone to great lengths to use me to get the gospel, even if not a savior unto life, a savior unto damnation. Years ago, my wife and I went in January. My brother was very wealthy, and he sort of paid for our trip to New York City. Her and I lived our first year in New York. We lived in Brooklyn. I had already been living there a year, my last year in the military, and I was a thoroughbred, 100% heathen while I was living in Brooklyn. There's a bar about a block from the house. I'm not proud of this. A bar about a block from the house called the Zebra Bar, and it closed every morning at 4 o'clock, and I was always there for last call. That was my life. And I played the numbers all the time I lived there. They played the numbers, all the money that was bet on the horses, they totaled it up, and the last four digits of the final total, people would bet on those numbers. And I bet with Nicky the bookie almost every night. Nicky would come through and collecting the bets. If you won, he'd come by to pay you off. Been around 32 years since we've been to New York City. And we went over to Brooklyn, wanted to see the place where I used to live, her and I, the brownstone. I noticed that the Zebra Bar now was gone. It's a real estate business. And we were coming back up, 17 degrees that day. We were coming back up the road headed to the R&R station. I told her, I said, wouldn't it be something if after 30 years I could see Nicky the bookie and tell him about Jesus? And we laughed. What are the chances of that? You probably want to play the lottery on that one. Well, we stopped at a little grill right there beside the R&R station. We got a grilled cheese, a cup of coffee. We were eating, drinking coffee. This Italian fella come in, gray hair. I mean, he looked sharp. Old Nicky was always a sharp guy, dressed well, very wealthy. Bookie's always wealthy because they're living off your money. And I punched her. I said, if that ain't Nicky, I'll eat my hat. I went up there and stood behind him, and I whispered, I said, are you Nicky the bookie? He turned around and he says, it all depends on who wants to know. He said, are you FBI or IRS agent? I said, I'm neither. He said, I am Nicky the bookie. He didn't remember me, but I got the chance of standing right there in that restaurant, telling him about how God saved my rotten soul. Made me a new creature. Old Nicky listened. He even took a gospel track. I remember he stuck it in his shirt pocket. He wasn't interested. Strict Roman Catholic. I feel assured God made that connection that day. If not to save Nicky, to leave him without excuse when he goes to hell. I'm telling you this morning, God's still looking for connectors. Songwriter said it well when he said, sinners Jesus will receive, sound this word of grace to all. Who the heavenly pathway lead, all who linger, all who fall. Christ receive a sinful man, even me, with all my sin. Purge from every spot and stain, heaven with him I enter in. Sing it o'er and o'er again. Or this, tell it o'er and o'er again. Christ receiveth sinful men. Make the message clear and plain. Christ receiveth sinful men. We're standing this morning. Our heads are bowed. Brother's coming to the instrument this morning. I wonder if you're here this morning and you would want to fill in the blank to this question. Lord, help me tell my story to blank. You fill it in. You say, preacher, it would be hard to tell them my story. Why don't you get in this altar and ask God to help you? Tell that one. Would be so hard. Tell them your story. Maybe you're here this morning and you would say, Lord, make me extremely conscious of the least of leprosy sin in my life. Lest it divide me, lest it conquer me, lest it take all of my power and authority away. If you'd want to get in this altar this morning and ask God to help you to conquer that sin in your life. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Lord, I have never been made whiter than snow. I've never embraced Calvary and seen Christ dying for my sin. I see it this morning, preacher. Wonder if you want to get in this altar, root you out a place and say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Save my rotten soul. While they're playing a little bit on the instruments this morning, while we're waiting in his presence, altar's open. You need to come this morning. Know someone you need to make a connection with? Ask God for the grace, the ability, the power. Maybe you're sitting here, you've never told your children, your grandchildren, your story. Maybe you need to tell it to them. Well, preacher, I've told it to them before. Tell it to them again. While we wait, God's speaking. You come.
Something you can think about, and that's this. You can compare everything that you've ever known, ever met, you've ever seen, that has any value that you think to you, as it relates to either religion or your life or your work or your possessions, and compare it all to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you hold him in higher esteem than every bit of it put together, and he is the one that gives you life and motivates your life, and the one you think about in this life, then here's what it says about that. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you're more concerned about a day or a commandment or a church or a preacher or a ministry or even your accomplishments in your religious life, any of that, I don't care what it is, I don't care who it is, you compare that to the Son of God. And if there's the least bit of doubt in your mind that it has any value whatsoever compared to Christ, you got a problem. Christ is all and in all, and he is the value, he is God's value, he is God's gift, he is God's treasure to this earth. Everything else must fade in insignificance to him. Do you know him? Do you love him? Have you accepted him? That's what matters. Not a prayer you prayed. No, 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 no. Not a place you've been. Not a pilgrimage you've had. No, no. Not an event. A person. What do you think about that person this morning? That's the test of your faith. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life. It'll make it a difference what you call yourself, what church you belong to, what creed you profess. Do you have the Son? Do you have him? If you don't have him, you got led astray somewhere. You got confused. You got mixed up. Do you have the Son? It goes no higher than him. There's nothing greater than him. There is no access to God other than him. There is no approach to the Father but by the Son. Do you have the Son? Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word this morning and for the servant, Lord, that preached it. And our Father, we know that your word will not return void. It will accomplish that which you please. And I'm thankful, Lord, that in 1973 you reached into my darkness. And I mean it was dark, Lord, lost and dark. And you spoke into my soul. And you led me out of that, and you brought me to your Son. And I'm thankful for that. I thank you for it today, and I bless you forever. As long as this body has breath, I'll praise you for the Son of God, the Savior of this world, the only Savior there is. There is none other. There is no other name above his name. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.